20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everyone, to this week's episode of Pack-A-Day Podcast. I realize I start this week's, even though it's a daily thing. Welcome to this Sunday's episode of Pack-A-Day Podcast. Again, just like last week, Nick is busy making excuses. I have a theory that he's arrested and in jail, so that's why he can't do it. But he is out this week, so you're stuck with Gage and myself again. I know last week we looked at five things the Packers need to improve going into next season. This week, we're going to go ahead and look at some players that are potentially on the bubble, players that you could see getting cut either before June 1st, post June 1st, whatever. Gage and I are going to bring up some players, give our opinion on that, and see if they'll be on the roster come next season. So I'm excited to go over that this offseason. I know we got to deal with Aaron Rodgers drama, but it's going to be a fun offseason just to see how we prepare ourselves for hopefully a Super Bowl run in 2023. But who knows? We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But Gage, how's everything going with you today, sir?
Doing well. Glad to be back talking Packers again. We're in the wonderful part of the year where we don't have a ton of information about the team. And due to the fact that Aaron Rodgers has not made his decision on what he's going to do next year, it makes it even more difficult to come up with a topic. And then looking at the roster made today's topic that we ended up on become even more difficult than we expected.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun.
A little trickier. It's definitely going to be more of a, in my opinion, a restructure offseason than a release offseason. But again, we are very dumb compared to the people running the Packers. So who knows what they're going to do. They'll work some voodoo magic. But we need to get Nick back because you don't like hosting. I absolutely hate hosting. And we need Nick back to just be the consistent host of the show. So we're going to have to figure out a plan, whether it's like threaten his family or something, to get him back doing these shows. So if you know,
I wouldn't mind having Nick back just because that gives me another person to like unload all of the, like, if I don't want to be the bad guy that day, I can just make somebody else be
Nick
the bad
is
guy.
Always the bad guy. He's grumpy as hell lately. This last season.
I mean, in fairness, this last season, I was pretty darn grumpy as well. Like, I didn't exactly love the season that we were working with there. So I kind of get where Nick's at. Plus, he just had a kid. He doesn't have as much sleep.
I have two children. I will not let him have that childhood excuse.
Yeah, but how young is your youngest kid?
1.5. But he is a menace.
His youngest kid is less than 6 months.
I wish it was that. They just lay there and don't do anything. My 1.5-year-old, if I don't watch him, he's on a counter. Or with scissors in his hand.
I don't know how this works. I don't have any kids. All right. All I know is they supposedly don't sleep much. Okay.
Kids are like a weird thing of like the best thing to happen to you and the worst thing to happen to you all in one. But you only focus on the positive. So you forget about the sleepless nights and the potentially killing themselves every moment you look away.
All right. Well, now that we got that dark moment out of the way, let's go.
Well, no, I mean, like, they just have no sense of like safety. Like, they think scissors are like a toy. They scare the crap out of you.
I mean, they're not wrong. It's not a great toy, but like,
but it could be a toy.
It could be.
That's a good point. Yeah. I should stop taking them from them. I should start handing them scissors, honestly.
There you go. Now you're getting it.
Have fun, Winston. Let's see how this ends. Let's go ahead and jump right in before I get CPS called on me. The first one we wanted to hit super fast. I know if you were on Twitter at all yesterday, being Friday, because we're recording on a Saturday, you saw some fun drama with Tyler Herrick and Aaron Jones. In Tyler's defense, he did not write the article. He just posted it. But three reasons to move on from Aaron Jones. He is a fan favorite. I love Aaron Jones. I want to see him on the Packers next year. But there is a reality of he does have a $20 million cap hit. The Packers can save $10 million by releasing him. Going into that super quickly, I think Gage and I are on the same page with personally, I don't believe that's going to happen. I think they're going to restructure his contract, lower that cap hit of $20 million. My main reason being he is the Packers offense. It's not the Aaron Rodgers show anymore, in my opinion. It's the Aaron Jones show. The Packers offense goes as Aaron Jones goes. What's your opinion on that, Gage? Do you think he is a release, or do you think he'll be on the team next year?
No, I expect him to be on the team next year. I know that when I saw that post go up and then I saw the very quick wildfire reactions to it. I was like, well, good thing I'm not that guy. So that's fine. And then as we were prepping for the show today, I was sitting here and I was looking through overthecap.com, which if you guys don't use that and you want more contract stuff, go do that. It's not a sponsor or anything. I just think they do a very good job of keeping detailed, updated stuff. And so I was looking through there and I was like, okay, I don't want to cut Aaron Jones because I don't want to be the guy that just got absolutely torched on Twitter by Aaron Jones. But looking through it, he was one of the ones where you can cut him and then save a good amount of money. So not terrible, but I agree with you. I don't think that they cut him. I think that, as you said, as he goes is how the offense goes. And I believe that to be the truth. And also, if I throw in the fact that AJ Dillon had a bit of a down year, I think that he would agree with that just as much as I'm not calling him out. I'm not saying anything. I think that he had a bit of a down year. I think he would agree with that. I don't know if that was his usage. I don't know what happened. All I know is I felt like he had a bit of a down year, and I think he would agree with that statement. So I think that combining those two things, keeping Aaron Jones makes way more sense than letting him go. Now, if that means you restructure him or whatever you have to do, I expect him to be back in green and gold next year.
So a question I did not prep you for at all. We're going into AJ Dillon's last year of his contract. Aaron Jones going to be 30 at the end of next year. Is there a possibility that 2024 we have a completely brand new backfield for the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, no, I could see that happening. I would be more surprised if it was completely new. I feel like this team doesn't like to just completely gut any one room unless they just absolutely have to. I feel like they like to do gradual overhauls and they like to bring guys along, especially now Aaron Rodgers is a little longer in the tooth. We know that his end with Green Bay will come. Yep. You don't know when, but it will come. And I think that could be a big reason why throughout his career, they haven't really tried to just completely demolish any room in one offseason, because I think that they know that with how he is with rookies and younger players, it's important to keep him, keep guys that are veterans and have been around, keep them involved, because they can be like, hey, what the hell does this hand signal mean? And the veteran can be like, all right, these are what these signals mean. So I think it's possible that we see a completely overhauled room. But at the same time, I feel like we'll have at least one veteran still sticking around.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. But to move on from Aaron Jones, like you already said, neither of us think he'll be cut. Neither of us want him to be cut. If they do, there will be a part of me that understands, because that's $10 million you're saving, especially in a year where the cap's going to be an issue. They push a lot of things back. We just had a giant contract for a quarterback that may or may not be playing on the team this year. So they're in a little bit of a cap circus that they're going to have to figure out. This next one, for me, I hate that he's on this list. I said to Gage before the show, he is another Amari Rodgers, in my opinion, to where I wanted Amari Rodgers getting some more offensive snaps, being actually involved in the passing game rather than just being sent out in the punt unit. This player does a hell of a job lead blocking. And I think we are not using him the correct way. I think he'd be much more valuable in the passing game. But first on our list is Josiah DeGuara. If the Packers end up cutting him before June 1st, they will save $1.1 million. I don't want them to cut him. Again, I could see them just because of the way that they use him. You can easily fill in a lead back, but I think they're just not – I don't think they're using him the way that Matt LaFleur envisioned when they used the third round pick on him. So
yeah, I think that's fair. I just think it ultimately comes down to I think that it's a cut out of necessity to him. Now, there is a world where him coming back is not completely out of the realm of possibility. And that is a world where Aaron Rodgers is not the quarterback anymore. Because I think if Rodgers is gone, I think Tonyan's gone. I think Mercedes Lewis is gone.
Yep.
And then I think you bring back, and then you keep DeGuara. You let the other two leave. And then that's when DeGuara might actually get some offensive snaps. I agree with you. Josiah DeGuara has shown some flashes in his first couple of seasons. He, after dealing with that injury in his rookie season, he played 16 games last year, and he played 17 games this year. The only problem is like he doesn't get involved in the offense. And I know that that's just, I don't know what the overwhelming reason for that is. That's just how it goes. Like he had 13 catches this year on 15 targets. He had 25 catches on 33 targets last year. And the big reason for his uptick in usage last year was because Bob Tonyan got hurt.
Yeah.
And I think DeGuara could bring more in the offense, and he just doesn't get the opportunities to do so. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know why, because I don't. He's grown. He's gotten better as he's been there for three seasons now. Tight end is a position that normally takes a little bit to get used to, especially in an offense like this that asks your guys to do a lot more than just your standard tight end. This isn't like he went to Kansas City and said, hey, I'm going to be a tight end, and that just means I have to be a pass catcher. No, you got to block. You got to go in motion. You got to catch passes. You got to do a lot of different things. So it takes a little bit to get used to. So I don't think that DeGuara is the best cut in terms of, I think that he can bring something, but looking through the roster, you save $1 million by letting him go. I think that if you bring Rodgers back, it gives you the chance to, give DeGuara a fresh start somewhere else. Cause I just feel like if you bring Rodgers back, you'll bring back Tonyan and Mercedes and just run it back again. And yeah. I think it's not fair to DeGuara to continue to keep him around in that situation.
Yeah. And there is they could easily use him. LaFleur's from the Shanahan tree. They could easily use him like they use Kyle Juszczyk over in with the 49ers. But for some reason we don't. And I think, like you say, it goes back to Rodgers has his guys in the tight end. I know he's more of an H, or he's more of a fullback, plays a little bit of tight end, but Rodgers has his guys and he's just not one of them. So if they do cut him, I think it will be beneficial to DeGuara. But if Jordan Love is the starting quarterback next year, fingers crossed on my end at least. Sorry if you don't agree with that. I think he'll be more involved in the offense than he has in the past. Moving on to our next one, we have Jonathan Garvin, edge rusher. If he is cut before June 1st, the Packers will save $1 million. I think this one's an easy one. Rashawn Gary probably will not start the year next year, obviously with the ACL injury he suffered against the Lions. But Preston Smith, still under contract. He had a solid year last year. I know people complain that he seemed to disappear sometimes, but when you have Rashawn Gary on the other end go out and you're now the focused edge rusher, like, it's going to happen. But you even mentioned, Gage, how many sacks did he have after
Gary was out? He had 5.5 sacks after Rashawn Gary went out, which before Rashawn, like with Rashawn in the lineup, he had 3.5 sacks before Gary got hurt. And then following the Gary injury, he had 1.5 against Tennessee, 0.5 against Philly, so there's 2. And then he had 2 against the Rams, so there's 4. And then he had 1 more against Miami. So he had a total of 5 sacks following the Rashawn Gary injury.
Yeah,
there was a spurt in the middle of the year during their losing streak where he couldn't buy a sack. But down the stretch, he was getting sacks. He was getting pressures on the quarterback. And I think that you can't, and like with Gary starting slow, you're going to, like, you can't, like, Preston, I think, is just going to be back. I think that he also played well enough to be back. So
I agree. Yeah, so that makes sense for Garvin to go, especially with Kingsley.
And Agbare.
Thank you. Agbare. That's like the first attempt I've done on that. Showing that he's serviceable. I still, right now in his rookie year, obviously he's going to grow and develop. Next year, I don't want him as a number 2. I think he'd be better off coming as a 3. I also think the Packers are going to invest early in an edge rusher in the draft, whether it's the first 3 rounds, maybe. Hopefully not in the 3rd, because I know that player will be accursed. But I think they're going to invest in that position as well. So there's really no reason to keep Jonathan Garvin around, save that $1 million and move on. Do you have any argument to keep him, Gage, or is it pretty easy decision?
It's a pretty easy decision for me. Through 3 seasons and a total of 38 games played, he has 1.5 sacks, 19 tackles. He's never played more than 38%. This past year, he only played 38% was his high, and that was against Tennessee. And I think he just played a lot of blowout snaps at the end of the game. He doesn't really bring much. I mean, he only had a total of, he had 8 combined tackles this season.
Yeah.
8. And even on special teams, it's not like he's playing a ton. Like, he played 43% of the snaps against Minnesota, and then he played 41% against the Jets. And he had a couple of other 40%ers in there against Tampa and then Detroit at the end of the year. I don't see the reason to keeping him on because he's clearly not cracking the rotation as an edge rusher. You have Kingsley. You'll have Rashawn back. You can find, you can invest in another cheaper edge rusher in the draft. And I would rather put my eggs in those baskets than putting more into guys further back in, like further down. I also think who's the guy that they added later in the year as an edge rusher?
Holland, I think he's from the Rams.
Yeah, so that's another guy that I think you could bring him back as a rotational guy, and then that gives you even more because I think he'll be cheap to bring back, and then I think that gives you another reason to let Garvin go. Just I don't think it's going to be the right fit here.
Yeah. This next one I'm going to let you take because you mentioned him before. You had some stats that you wanted to share, but Shamar Jean Charles, what's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, so Shamar Jean Charles is ultimately for me just – I think it's just not going to work out. The big, cause I remember during the offseason, the big discussion was maybe you move Rasul Douglas to safety and then that's how you get more guys on the field, or maybe you move Shamar Jean Charles to safety. Cause that was the big thing all offseason was who's your third safety going to be? Cause third safety matters a lot in this defense, yada, yada. And they just never really did it. And then I went and I looked cause I was curious about his activity. He played two snaps against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he played one snap against the New England Patriots. He didn't play another defensive snap the entire season. He was only active for six games. I can't remember off the top of my head if he was dealing with injuries or if he was just a game day scratch every week. But for 2 years, he has played in 20 games. He has a total of 11 tackles. He has no pass breakups. He has no sacks. No forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries. He hasn't really done anything. He's clearly not cracking the rotation. You have to imagine that next year, assuming Rasul Douglas is going to be back, which we'll talk about him a little bit more here in a minute, but assuming Rasul's back and Jair's back and Eric Stokes is back and healthy, there's your top three guys. We talked last week about how we think Keyshawn Nixon needs to be brought back. There's your fourth corner. Because Keyshawn did show that he can be kind of a fourth corner, like can be your fourth corner. And then you also have guys like Corey Ballantyne. You have Innis Gaines. There's too many other guys that I just don't think Jean Charles is going to see the field. He basically didn't see the field at all this year. And so I think it's one of those where it's not going to work out. You save not a ton of money, but you save like $879K, which at the end of the day it's not much. But I just think it's a roster spot that you're taking up that can be used on somebody else.
Yeah. I'm 100% with you. I don't see the need. Like it doesn't save you a crazy amount of money. You save 800,000 if you cut him, but still at the end of the day, if he's not going to play, not going to service your team, save that 800,000, put it to better use. So I'm with you. We tried with him. He was a late draft pick anyway. So it's not like he's a bust or anything. Did his time. Let him try to see if he can stick somewhere else. This next one, I know Andy Herman mentioned this when he broke down how the Packers can go all in if Rodgers comes back. But I don't even like talking about this position because when he's on the field, it's usually because he failed on offense. Or not usually, it is because he failed on offense. But Pat O'Donnell, if we cut him before June 1st, we end up saving, I believe it is $1.9 million. Yep. So $1.9 million if we cut him. Herman mentioned too, I think there's some people that think maybe he was a little better than he was. He was a mediocre punter, but in Green Bay, a mediocre punter looks like the second coming of Christ. So do we want, that's the thing is, look, I said this before the show, obviously special teams is something we've invested in. We're saying bring Keyshawn Nixon back because he changes the game. With Pat O'Donnell, you would think you can replace him, but if you want a decent punter, if you're going to sign a veteran, you're probably going to have to pay him at least that $1.9 million anyways to have a solid punter back there. Do you risk it in the draft or undrafted free agents after that? I don't want them to draft a punter. I would hate that. We have too many other positions to worry about. That's the tricky thing is like, if you do cut him and save that money, then what's your plan?
It was my understanding that I didn't have to have a plan.
That's fair.
I mean, like you can cut the punter. We talked about it a little bit beforehand. Like I think you can cut him. I think that there's probably punting free agents out there that you can go get. But at the same time, like, it sounds really bad because punters matter. As much as people want to say they don't, they do matter. They can make a difference. Like, there's various guys that are available in free agency, like J.K. Scott. He's available.
I'd rather cut my
foot totally off. Messing with you. I'm totally messing with you. It's just like I was looking at guys that are free agents. Tommy Townsend is a free agent this offseason. He's a restricted free agent, so he'll probably end up back with the Chiefs. But just a good punter can make a difference. And I think O'Donnell was at least serviceable. If you can look in the offseason and like you can look around at free agency, I agree. Don't draft one. But if you can look around and you're like, hey, we can bring in this guy. And he doesn't have to be good. He's just got to be serviceable. That's all you need to do. I think that punters can be a little overrated at times. Like, I think the whole, like, oh, this guy's he's a game changer for you. If that's one of your game changers, you got to get a better roster.
Yeah.
Like, now, if it's a kicker, kicker's a different story. Like, Justin Tucker's a legitimate game changer because when he's on, he's the best. That's how it works. But,
yeah,
I think that O'Donnell, I think you could upgrade from him, but I'm not going to rush to try and drop him just so he can be like, okay, we got a good punter now. No, I'm not going to rush and drop a serviceable punter when I could use the money, like the rest of the money on a better player at a different spot that matters a little bit more.
That's the thing. If you're going to get a serviceable punter, it's going to be more than that $1.9 million. So at the end of the day, do you want to just keep O'Donnell for that? Yeah, for $2.3 million rather than cut him, save that $1.9 million, and then you're going to end up paying more anyway. So that one's going to be a little bit tricky seeing how they decide how to go about that.
I also like him because he's a cold weather punter.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because he played in Chicago all those years, and then he played in Green Bay now. So I like having a guy that can punt outside and not just like completely lose it. Like, he played in Chicago for several years, and then he came to Green Bay. Like, so he's had 9 years, and he's only ever been a cold weather punter. Like, obviously he punts in like domes and stuff, but
yeah,
his home games he's played in bad weather and outdoors, so he's used to it. Versus a guy that, like, if you get a guy from, say,
we got that Boho Blast last year,
so you get a guy that play like, yeah, but Horquist was fine, but he wasn't an outdoor guy. Versus, like, let's say you get the Falcons punter. Falcons punter plays, obviously, he's in the South. He's in a dome. And then you have Tampa Bay, which is outside, but it's nice weather. You have Carolina, normally nice weather. New Orleans in a dome. So he plays all these games. Like, so that's 8 games at home, plus a road game in a dome, plus 2 other normally nice weather outdoor games. So he's playing, like, 2/3 of his season in nice weather. Versus O'Donnell's at least used to dealing with snow and cold, whatever.
Yeah. No, that's fair. We'll see what they do. That's one where it's kind of either way they go, you can't really blame them. It's just a way for them to save $1.9 million if they have a decent backup plan. Going to this next one, our last one on the list, which I think is the most interesting to me. So we're going to look at Rasul Douglas a little bit. If they cut him before June 1st, they end up saving, I believe it's $3 million. I kept scrolling up and down for this. $4 million.
They say $4.2 million, and then post June 1st, they save $6
million. See, my thing is, if you have the plan, and you mentioned this already, to move him to safety in the kind of jumbleness they have at safety right now, keep him. Do not cut him. He is worth it. If you want to keep him at corner, and for some reason when Stokes comes back and you think, you know what, we tried this, it's Joe Barry. He's going to do this. It's Joe Barry. He's going to say, hey, we had Rasul inside last year. Let's try that again. Even though clearly he is not a slot corner, he will try it again. If you're going to do that, cut him, save the money, let him go somewhere else. But if you're going to move him to safety, position that we need help at, that I think serves him better because he loves to stare at the quarterback. I think he'll be much better at safety than he is at corner. I think it's just, I think it'll be a step up for him. So if you're going to put him there, I think that's great. If you're going to put him back at slot corner, just cut him, let him go somewhere else and be an outside corner and try to make some money there.
And at the same time, he's not bad at corner. Like, he's good out there. Like, especially when he's allowed to play aggressive, unlike in the Joe Barry defense.
Exactly. So that's the thing. If we switch coordinators and it's someone that's going to actually play to his strong suit, then he is 100% worth the money. If we're going to have Joe Barry where he wants him to line up 10 yards off the line of scrimmage and he can't get his hands on him right away, there's no reason paying this man $7 million because you're not using him to the best of your ability.
Yeah, so that's where I stand with Rasul. I think I agree with your safety take. We hadn't even talked about that when we were prepping for the show, but that's a spot I don't hate the idea at all. because Amos is a free agent. Darnell Savage is in the last year of his deal, and we saw that he's regressed a little bit. And getting Douglas at safety gives you the ability to get more talented guys on the field, because I'm a big fan of play your best guys. And so if you got Rasul as a safety, you have Jair and Stokes as your two primary corners, and then Keyshawn Nixon or whoever else ends up being your nickel corner, maybe Darnell Savage ends up being your nickel corner, you bring Amos back.
Let's hope.
Like, yeah. Let's say, okay, real quick, and we'll get out of here. You put Savage in at the nickel, where he's allowed to just be kind of more of a frenetic energy type of guy. You have Jair and Stokes as your two outside corners. You have Rasul as your free safety, kind of ball hawk type of guy. And then you have Amos as your Swiss Army knife. Like, he's down in the box. He can do a little bit of everything for you. Tell me that that doesn't sound real good.
But that's what everyone's... That's what everyone's asking for this year. That's like the frustrating part, is we have to wait. If they do it this next season, so many fans, including myself, will be pissed off, because this is ideas. Especially these are ideas that,
like, if it works,
yeah,
we'll all feel so mad.
If our dumbasses thought of it, like, it should be so obvious to them. Like, that's the thing that's like extra frustrating. If we can come up with this idea and it's actually working at the NFL level, like, Joe Barry, you should not ever get a job in another team, because it should have been right in front of your eyes that you should have did this.
Yeah, no, but I agree. Like, that, I was sitting there, I was like, wait a minute. Okay, if you put all these pieces in place and it works, because, like, there is a very legitimate world where we are, in fact, dumb and it doesn't work. And that's fine. But what if it did? And then that's when we're all like, you wasted an entire season when you could have done this thing that we all thought of. Like, yeah. Again, we're all dumb. That's fine. I'll concede that. I'm not smart. Okay, whatever. But we all thought of an idea that worked, darn it.
Yeah.
And you said, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. If that, I want it to happen. I wanted to just try it. But it all depends. If they bring Amos back next year, if they keep Savage put Savage and keep him in the slot. Because I know at the end of the year last year, he was kind of moving around a little bit more. Stepped up after he got benched. I give him that. So I'm not as upset about him coming back next year. The $7 million sucks. And there's really no way to get out of that unless you trade him. But I'm less bummed about him coming back because of the end of the season than I was like middle of the year, because I think his level of play did improve. So
yeah, I think that he definitely bounced back after his midseason benching, and that's what you want to see. I think that's a veteran mindset, veteran move. Like, I think if you do that to like rookie Darnell Savage, I don't know if he bounces back that way. I think Savage. No. Like, I think that he was like, okay, I need to step my game up and I know what I need to do. So I'm going to go ahead and bounce back. And he played well down the stretch. I mean, could you ask for better? Sure. But I wasn't going to, like, I didn't think that he was ever the reason they were losing. So,
yeah, no, I'm with you for sure. All right. We're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. We appreciate you guys listening. If you're still, for some reason, you stuck around, thank you. If you didn't, honestly, don't blame you. But we'll be back again next Sunday. Hopefully Nick will be back with us. If not, I'll start calling local prisons to see if he's in there, because honestly, I think there's a good chance. But as always, go ahead, follow Packaday Podcast on YouTube, follow them on Twitter, subscribe, like, leave a nice review, or leave a 5-star review and trash us. I don't care. As long as you let 5-star, we're golden. But Gage, where can the folks find you?
As always, you can find me on Twitter at GBridgefordNFL. Still covering the, still doing Rotoballer stuff generally at the end of the week. And then for another month and a couple of weeks, I'm covering the Denver Nuggets for Denver Stiffs. If you guys are not aware, the Vox Media people that run and own SB Nation elected to shut down basically the entire just basically every like website that's under the SB Nation banner, other than the teams that are in big markets. They shut down basically every major hockey site other than, again, big markets. So but yeah, so until the end of February, I'll be covering the Nuggets, and then after that, who knows what I'll be doing. But
covering the Bucks,
all of my probably not, because they're not paying. But after that, all of my work will be all of my Twitter, or like all of my links to all of my stuff that I'm doing, wherever I may be doing at on my Twitter.
Sweet. And you can follow me, Jimmy_C08 on Twitter. Also go ahead and shameless plug, follow Lombardi's Bar on Twitter at Lombardi's Bar. We have some interviews coming up this offseason, Kenny Clark, Joe Thomas, hopefully bringing back Romeo Doubs. We had him at the beginning of the last season, hoping he'll come on again this offseason. So follow us there. Also doing some giveaways. Will be much appreciated. So as always, we appreciate you listening, and go Pack Go.